Hello and welcome to the Day Zero update for August 30th, 2015. I'm Filippo D'Anofa.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Lee Lamb.
And a couple big news stories this week. The Street Fighter V beta went live, and people have been enjoying that, including us.
It worked this time.
Yeah, it actually works this time. Actually, yeah, we'll talk a bit more about how well that's been working. Got some interesting new releases coming out this week. Phantom Pain, which I know Brandon is totally stoked for.
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that later, though.
For people on the PlayStation side of that, just in time for the Street Fighter V beta to end,
yeah,
you walk right into Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, so that works out pretty well. And the demo for Forza 6 is coming on Tuesday, and I recommend if you're planning on buying that game, definitely download the demo, because just playing the demo will get you the Ford GT. So definitely.
As well as put you in that whole Forza mentality that just comes with every game and yep, the hype leading up to it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, with that, might as well get into what we're playing. And, well, Pat and I have been playing Street Fighter V. We'll talk a lot more about that. I've been finishing up Volume, which has been really great. I swear, if you guys want an MGS game that's more, rooted in what MGS used to be, this is a game that you'll definitely want to have a look at.
And not brought to you by Konami.
Yeah. Yeah, level editor, all that good stuff. The review's up on smashpad.com if you want to go check that out.
Yeah, you gave it a pretty good score.
But yeah, 5-star.
Now, I have to ask, does Volume actually have a plot?
Yeah, it does. It's basically a modern retelling of the Robin Hood legend.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So a character's name is Rob Loxley, and the main antagonist, played by Andy Serkis, is Guy Gisborne. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. How about you, Brennan?
Well, mostly. Two things primarily. Obviously, I'm still playing Rare Replay. Because it's Rare Replay.
Yeah,
because
it's awesome.
And it's got just a bunch of crap in it that I'm still finding. Mm. Other than that, I've been playing a certain visual novel known as Higurashi When They Cry.
Ooh!
Yeah. Holy.
Okay, please elaborate. This sounds intriguing.
Okay, there's only a handful of visual novels and of franchises and anime franchises that have genuinely scared the crap out of me, that are genuinely bloody and just incredibly disturbing. Cyanoda, I'm still having nightmares about that one. But basically, Higurashi When They Cry is about this guy who moves to this small little rural town in Japan called Hinamizawa in August. Now, I've watched enough anime by now to know that nothing ever good ever happens in Japan during August. It just doesn't.
Okay.
Because you know how in the U.S., over here, in the West at least, our sort of horror season is like in the fall because of like Halloween and All Saints Day and all that stuff.
Right.
Well, summer is their month in Japan, and usually it's around late July, early August. Basically what it is he moves into this town with all these girls. Oh, it's obviously it's not just all girls. It's just the circle he ends up running with in this school is all girls. And then he starts to notice that some really weird crap is happening. I'm not going to go too deep into it, but let me just say it this way, that the anime adaptation of this series has probably one of the most infamous death scenes in the history of the medium. Which involves one of the girls who goes into this high school at night with a friend of hers, affixes a knife to her to a wall, and then headbutts it 6 or 7 times before she dies.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's one of those stories.
Yeah, if you're looking for the anime, you might have better luck looking under the full Japanese name, Higurashi no Naku Koroni.
Yeah. And the thing is, this I'm just playing the first arc here. And the thing is, the whole series is extreme. It's really intricate, I have to say. Because, first of all, the original series, they do the story in such a way so that it's really open to interpretation. You know, they give you a bunch of information and, you know, they go you along with the story, but they don't really tell you exactly all of the answers. The answers come with the other arcs, which they call the answer arcs, where they actually take the view of the game to one of the other characters and it answers a lot of the weird questions. Basically, from what I'm getting is that this town is basically the real life version of Groundhog's Day, where you just die over and over and over again. And then having no idea of what happened before. It's just, it's insane. And the thing is, I'm playing the first game, the original version that was sold at Comiket all those years ago. It's the one that's got the original, you know, it doesn't have any voice acting. The artwork is kind of crude because it was drawn by Ryukishi 07, the guy who wrote this thing. But, and here's the thing, either unlike most visual novels, there's very little actual interaction. It's very linear and most of it is just clicking through text. And yet, despite that, it is extremely gripping for some reason. I don't know what it is. There's just this weird strategic use of sound and imagery that just makes it interesting. And I don't know why, but I have a feeling this thing's going to get really messed up before too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing I should point out, it has a sequel called Umineko no Naku Koroni.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, and that one's supposedly even weirder than this one.
And so, that actually led to the development of a fighting game based on it called Ogon Muso Kyoku Umineko.
Yeah, I've heard of that one, too.
It's actually pretty good.
Yeah. You got to hand it to these guys at, you know, the 07th expansion. These guys, it's really, I mean, originally it was just like these two dudes in, you know, at Comiket selling their stuff, and now it's this huge $1 million franchise. So you got to hand it to them.
Well, that's usually where it ends up starting, you know. Everything starts small.
Yeah, but that's what I've been playing.
Cool. Lee? Probably not much.
Not much, yeah.
Yeah, we don't
under
blame
the weather.
You.
Excuse me. I've been, let's see, I fired up Transistor.
Right.
Just because I started playing that back in the day and I never really got around to doing much with it. And of course, it's great.
Yes.
So I did some of that. I actually picked up Dishonored on the PlayStation 4. And if that's not the laziest remaster or whatever you want to call it that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's not. It's 30 frames a second. It has visual tearing everywhere for the screen. The screen tears constantly. It's just, I don't know how anybody at Bethesda could put that out with a straight face. I'm just kind of blown away by it.
And charge $60 for it.
Yeah, and charge $60 for it. So, well, I think it's actually $39. I think it's $39.99. But even still, I mean, if you have an even semi-decent PC, you can run it with no problems whatsoever at 60 frames a second with everything turned up.
Yeah.
So it's really, really disappointing to see them, you know, kind of pull that. But yeah, that fired up a little bit of WoW as usual. But just since I've been feeling so under the weather, I just haven't really done much.
Yeah. Yeah, totally understandable. It's one of those weeks. Yeah. You know. So that.
Well, we seem to be in a weird way over here in Atlanta, too, because, like, it has been 95 degrees or more, like, every single day for, like, a month and a half.
Yeah, pretty much. Same down here.
Yeah, then all of a sudden now it's, like, 60s in the mornings and about 80 in the afternoons. And so it's, I wouldn't be surprised if that's throwing me off because, you know, your body just gets used to that stuff. And
yeah.
We have pretty drastic weather changes here in Georgia. The weather's very bipolar.
Yeah,
it's the South, dude.
Yeah.
If we're, you know, just if it's not heat, it's rain. And if it's not rain, it's a tornado.
Yeah.
We have a saying, tornado, it's a trailer. If you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And if it's not rain, and if it's not heat, or it's not rain, or it's not a tornado, it's a heat, rain, it's sun, rain, and tornado all at the same time.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that happens sometimes.
Like some kind of violent sauna.
Yeah. We have a saying. We have a saying about that down here in the South. Whenever it happens, we say the devil is beating his wife with a frying pan and marrying his daughter.
Yikes.
Wow.
Okay.
You don't ask me where that came from. It's just something we say down here.
Yeah. Okay, so it is that. Well, we should move into our couple of quick discussion topics here. We already talked about the releases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looks like Xenoblade Chronicles X, for those of you here in North America that want it, looks like you're going to get a collector's edition with some pretty interesting stuff in there.
Yeah, it's basically going to have, you know, soundtrack, art book, art card, stuff like that.
USB drive with something in it. I don't know what.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's obviously, I've said before, this is one of my most anticipated games, and considering how close to Christmas this game comes out, this will probably be one of my Christmas gifts this year.
Yeah,
I can see ponying up for the LE.
Yeah,
this is one of those games that I like in theory.
Okay,
like I think it'll be great, but I don't know if I'll ever even have the time.
Yeah, that is really one of the problems with a lot of JRPGs is they don't really respect your time that much.
No, and it's like.
But the good thing is about the Xenoblade games is that they let you basically save wherever.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's unlike the JRPGs of the past where, you know, they only had specific save points.
Yeah.
Here you can just As long as you're not in battle, you can just pause and save.
Well, and I'll probably get some traction out of the gamepad because, like, if my wife or somebody is on the TV, you know, I can just hook up a set of headphones and play it that way. So,
yeah.
That is one nice feature of the Wii U.
Yeah,
might be the only one.
I hope for the English cast they get the British voice actors again. Because that was actually one of the things about the port I really liked.
Yeah, I think from what I heard, I think they're going to be pretty consistent with what you had before.
Yeah.
So,
I mean that was a stellar voice cast for the first
Xenoblade
first game. Except having Ryan going now it's Ryan time over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I could see how that would get a little annoying after a while.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Makes the game start to feel like an arcade game.
Yeah.
Anyways, so on somewhat sad news, it looks like the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 version of Mortal Kombat 10 is no more.
Good.
Yeah. Not sure whether this is because they didn't see any money in it, or just because they had a hard time getting it running up to spec, but it seemed at first like this was kind of a sure thing that, you know, they weren't going to have any trouble making. Oh, yeah. I'm reading now. It says that they weren't able to get him running up to spec. So I guess it got Project Cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I called this like in March. So
yeah.
Yeah.
But to be honest, I'm completely fine with this. It's kind of time to let the old generation go a bit. I know.
Short of saying that, but.
Well, I would say it. I mean, let's look at the age of the hardware here. You know, the Xbox 360 came out in 2005. And you're trying to get modern games to run on it. That would be like trying to get Quake 3 Arena to run on the Super Nintendo. That's the difference in hardware that we're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. I wasn't looking at it from that angle, I guess. I was just looking at it from generational overlap. From which there hasn't really been much so far.
Well, see, the thing is, there are different types of games that can do good on both new gen and past gen. You know, like a JRPG can do good on new gen and past gen, but big AAA games like this, they just can't.
Yeah.
At least not up to the quality that the developers want.
Yeah.
Because if you're trying to, you know, adapt it to past gen, you're going to have to make some cuts and. Usually, it's just not good for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, with MK10, I mean, on the Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and PC, that's like a 35 gigabyte, you know, game.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to cram that down to a 9 gig DVD is beyond me.
Well, I think it's one of those things where it's just past time. I mean, you know, like you guys were saying a minute ago, I mean, these systems are old. Yeah. And
see, you know, I actually got my Xbox the first year. I've still got it. It's the old white model.
Yeah.
Holy crap, yours still works.
Yeah, mine too. Still works.
Yeah.
What
kind of black magic do you people use? No, I just the one of the things that's kind of bothered me. I a year ago, it didn't so much when I would see people complain about like, oh, you know, we're letting the last gen kind of drag down the current gen. But I think that there's enough sales now that's the other thing. Like, I think they feel like the people who probably bought the game or who were going to buy the game have already bought it on the next gen platforms. And it's probably not just a hardware thing, but also just because where's the money in it for them?
Yeah.
And, you know, I this generation now is 2 years old, so you know, frankly, it's about time they start actually just saying, you know what, there's really nothing else we're going to put out for the 360. There's nothing else we're going to put out for the PS3.
Yeah. Exactly. So
I think this is kind of like overdue.
Yeah. So. You see Microsoft doing that now. I mean, they pretty much this year's E3, they didn't even mention the 360 at all, apart from backwards compatibility. So, you know, I think it's overdue and. I'm glad it's happening, and now we'll start to see what kind of games can come out when you're not having to think about 10-year-old hardware.
Exactly.
Which dovetails nicely into much older games. So, Bethesda finally ponied up and put their stuff on GOG.
Yep.
Yeah, they were one of the last holdouts for some reason. I'm not entirely sure why, given that they don't use DRM, so that's kind of weird.
Who knows? It might have been a corporate thing.
Yeah.
Might have been waiting for some contracts to expire.
Yeah.
Probably. But anyway, they've gone completely DRM-free. Now you can get it on GOG.
Yeah. Doom, Quake, Fallout 3 in New Vegas, I think, are also on there. So, you know, if you don't like Steam
and
for some reason.
I guess all the old Elder Scrolls stuff, too.
Yeah, all of them. Arena, they're all up there. It's like, I think they're doing a bundle also if you want to just grab everything all at once.
Mm.
GOG is typically pretty good for that.
Yep.
Yeah, just thought I'd let you guys know about that one. I'm pretty sure everybody has Doom by this point, but
yeah.
If you don't, now you can get another copy pretty cheaply. Yeah. So, Street Fighter V.
Oh.
Street Fighter V.
You know, going into this beta and stress test, whatever, we're going to talk about it, I didn't really have expectations that this game was going to be good.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
It looked good, but with the kind of turmoil that Capcom has been going through, I mean, it hasn't been quite as bad as Konami, but it's been pretty hectic over there. I was kind of worried that the quality of the game would kind of suffer. Thankfully, I was kind of proven wrong, because this is probably the best Street Fighter game that I have ever played.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'll go that far. I'm not saying I won't, but it's definitely up there. I mean, I find myself debating which is superior between this and Alpha 2, and you know, the more I play Street Fighter V, the more I start to see this possibly edging Alpha 2 out. Which, for the record, is not what I hold as like the absolute gold standard of Street Fighter games, but it is probably the best representative of the series to date.
Yeah.
And I don't know, just playing Street Fighter V is just such a joy to play that even on a gamepad, because I'm stuck on a gamepad right now with it. It just holds up so well, and you know, I think a lot of what this game has to brag about is all the ways that it is not Street Fighter IV. And that's not to take a whole lot away from Street Fighter IV, because I definitely appreciate what it did, what it accomplished, and you know, just how freakishly balanced that game turned out to be. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of things about it that were justifiably divisive, especially with long-running members of the fighting game community. It kind of felt like you could progress so far as a player, and then it asked you to kind of give up all your skills in those older games to completely retrain your instincts, retrain your muscle memory, and sort of relearn how to play Street Fighter if you were going to get to a certain point. Street Fighter V asks nothing of the sort of you. And, you know, the skills that you've been developing since the 90s still very much apply here. And honestly, I think it's a much better game for it.
Yeah.
I'm really happy to hear that, because that was the big problem. I competed in CBS, CBS 2, Street Fighter 3, all that stuff, and I hit a huge wall with 4 because I did not like the revenge mechanic. I didn't like the fact that they basically Mario Karted Street Fighter. Now, at super high level play, you know, it definitely at least makes it fun to watch, because you're like, oh my God, who's going to counter who? Who's going to do this? Who's going to do that? It's a much more watchable game than something like Third Strike.
I will say that the V meter basically builds itself similarly to the revenge gauge, but it does it a lot faster. And there are other ways to build meter, usually by using V skills and such.
Right. And but yeah, like I that always kind of felt like a catch up button to me in 4. It doesn't quite seem that way in 5, which makes me very happy. But yeah, I hit a wall as far as, you know, because you know, I'm a parent now. I don't have a lot of time to compete, but it got so frustrating to play that game and to lose to things that would have never worked in any other game.
Yes.
For the last 20 years, based on the skills that you had. And that really turned me off from playing the game, from playing 4. And so I'm really happy to hear that this sort of is a return to form, because that was one of the best things I thought, at least, about Street Fighter is that if you had previous skills, no matter what game they came from, they were applicable at least in some way to what you were playing. Whether you had really solid fundamentals and crappy execution, whatever the case may be, you know, you still had options. And 4 didn't feel in a lot of ways like a Street Fighter game to me. So I'm really happy to hear this.
Yeah, 4 is unfortunately going to be a scar on that whole dynamic forever now, just because it's so... I've actually used the term developed in such a way that's antagonistic to seasoned players. Because there are so many things about it that's just counterintuitive, and you know, especially with your option selects, your one frame links, your, you know, stuff that
one frame links were such just garbage.
Yeah. You know, it's not like these things were never in Street Fighter before, but Street Fighter IV was the first one that actually asked it of you. And then they completely changed the whole risk-reward dynamic. to where, like, you know, if you dropped a combo in Street Fighter Alpha 2, you know, you just drop your combo and probably got blocked the rest of the way out, or maybe if their timing was on, you got countered. Now, if you drop a combo in Street Fighter 4, you're eating a full punish. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, to me at least, that kind of just pushed me away from attempting combos.
Yeah.
Altogether. And I don't know. I, you know, it, all that stuff's gone in Street Fighter V, so I'm, it's just back down to good, honest Street Fighter. The neutral game is fantastic. Mm. Probably the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
You know, I make the comparison to Alpha 2 a lot, but there are times in this game where I feel like I'm playing Super Turbo.
Yeah. The thing I've noticed about Street Fighter V so far is that you can really kind of intuit your way through it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in 4, that only got you so far. You know, given that the beta doesn't really have any command lists or anything to go by, you just kind of wing it.
That reminds me, I found something that I got to send you.
But besides that, I mean, it just, I don't know, it has a smooth feel to it. It has something like, you know, you can just get into it and lose a few matches, but you understand why you lost, not because this guy was better at hitting one frame links than you were, you know. There was always that for me that kind of irritated me about 4. So.
Yeah, I can't remember a game that I played online that actually enraged me, and Street Fighter 4 did, because and I get, like, you know, you're obviously, people online are going to get away with certain things that you just can't otherwise. And
that,
you know,
also happens in Street Fighter 5, at least in my experience.
Yeah, and you know, I expect that to a certain extent, but when I was just getting just completely cheesed out, it just was absolutely infuriating to me, to the point like where I literally chucked the stick one time, and my wife was like, "Whoa!" You know, like, because games typically don't frustrate me. Like, even I feel like even if I lose, as long as I can learn something from why I lost or what caused it to happen. But it was like, no, this only worked because this dickhead that I'm playing is taking advantage of the fact that it's like online, and because I would compete in tournaments, I didn't want to get into, like, the garbage that you could get away with online and then go to a tournament and get wrecked, you know?
Exactly.
And so it just kind of turned me off in general.
Yeah.
No, you'll find none of that there. And you mentioned Capcom versus SNK earlier. That's actually probably the best comparison I can make system-wise, just because hitting combos feels almost identical to CVS2.
Unless you're playing as Nash, then it's SVC.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's another thing I did want to kind of bring up. Every character really does feel unique in this game.
Yep. That's part of the development focus, too.
Yeah. Not just unique, you know, playing in style, but mechanically, you know, it's like, depending on what character you're playing a different game.
Yep. That's something that they were making a point of implementing when they went into development. They compared it to Street Fighter IV, which had what they called a system first. Well, that's not what they called it, but it's sort of how it came out. It was like, it seemed like a system first mentality, where they had the focus attack, focus cancels, things like that. And then they just tried to cram all the characters they could into that dynamic. This is a character first system, where they implement the character first and then build their own system around them.
And that's a lot more work, but I think the results are kind of speaking for themselves at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm. And I mean, this is just such a joy to play. I can't even describe it, really. Just
Yeah, so what about this system? You have a note here about some system stuff that you wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah. So, side retention. This isn't new. Mortal Kombat's been doing it for a while. Killer Instinct's been doing it from the beginning. it's very new, and I would even say radical to Street Fighter. But it kind of makes sense. There are players, even at fairly high levels, who do have their favored side. And considering that there's a full reset between rounds in every game up to this point, it would be kind of frustrating to work so hard to get to the side that you're more comfortable on, win the round, and get kicked back over. That's out the window now. It's gone.
Yeah.
You start the next round on the same side that you finished the previous one on.
Actually, I did run into one situation where it didn't do
that. Whoa. You're breaking up.
No, really? Can you hear me again?
Kind of.
No.
Sounds fine on my end.
Sounds fine to me, you. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that was weird.
Yeah. Wi-Fi. Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did run into one situation where that actually wasn't the case. It's I lost a round in the corner, in the right corner, and ended up resetting to the left side for some reason. I'm not entirely sure what it did there, because, you know, you'd think I would have just ended up back on the right side, but nope, didn't do that.
Was it a stage knockout? Did you end up going for a ride on the bus or something?
No. Yeah, it was weird. I'm not entirely sure what happened there, but hey, it is beta. Some stuff will break here and there.
So the PAX Prime is underway. We had a character reveal. That was Rainbow Mika.
Yep.
Interesting trailer, that.
Yeah.
It was kind of out of left field, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is it just me, or she been hitting the gym recently?
It seems like she has.
Well, it would be consistent with damage being damage again in Street Fighter V.
Yeah. Yeah. Damage really is damage. I mean, it's like even the even shorts and jabs are actually effective now. So that's something to keep in mind when you get your hands on that game. Pokes. Actually useful, so point that out. But yeah, Mika's assists are, well, straight out of rival schools, it looks like.
Yeah, do you think those are her V skill, or do you think that's got more to do with the V trigger? If it's V skill, then you can pretty much spam that shit all game, and
it'd be interesting to see if that is related to V trigger, because pretty much every character has been doing multi-hit moves on V-Trigger. Yeah. If they changed it up for Mika, it might be interesting, though.
I just can't think, like, if that's not her V-skill, what was it?
Could have been her super. Never know.
Yeah. Another thing I noticed was what looked like a catch throw from Alpha Counter.
Yeah, she's going to be really, really annoying when we start, getting our hands on the game.
apparently very counter-rush now, too.
She's supposed to be like an actual true grapple character, so...
Yeah. I thought that was interesting, because Combo Fiend described her as the first true grappler in Street Fighter V, and I'm just... Well, we got Birdie. Your mileage may vary with Vega. I don't know. It seemed like an odd thing to say, but I haven't heard it in context yet, so...
So that still leaves six characters left to be revealed.
Yeah, three newcomers and three... three returning from previous games.
Yeah, some people are speculating, like, Alex Urien and whoever.
Yeah, well, Silicon Era, several weeks ago, pretty much said that it was ironclad that Mika, Alex, Urien, and Karin were set to return. Now, Mika gives that some credibility. And I don't know about Alex and Karin. It would be nice, just from a roster standpoint. obviously people have wanted Alex back for quite a while, and Karin has proven fairly popular over the years. I think you have to have Sakura in there to give Karin context. And as far as Alex goes, I don't know if they're getting ready to continue his Street Fighter 3 story or what. The only one that makes perfect sense on that list is Yurien, and you know, for those who follow the storyline side of things, and especially some of the comic, you know, pre-release kind of things, we already know that Yurien is a major player in Charlie's storyline. And so having him in the roster is kind of a no-brainer, just because basically it looks as though he was the one who sprung Charlie from Shadaloo. It also explains the third eye that Charlie sprouted. And so you know, whatever's going on with that, it's pretty obvious that he has to show up sooner than later, whether it's as part of the initial roster of 16 or as one of the initial DLC characters. But he is going to be a major player in the storyline. And so that does make perfect sense.
Yeah, you were thinking Abel would probably be in Jury as well.
Come back. Abel. Well, obviously, back in Street Fighter 4, he seemed to be the key to everything that had been going on, what had happened to Charlie, whatever connections with Yurien and Gil might exist. It seemed like he was the one with all the answers to that, and the only thing holding it back from whether or not he would actually give up full disclosure himself on that was whether or not he came to trust Guile. Which I guess as of Ultra Street Fighter 4 has been inconclusive. So I think as sort of the key to that whole storyline, you have to include him. As for Jury, I think she'd be really good in the Street Fighter 5 system, and also to the point that she's the only Street Fighter 4 character that does well in popularity polls. She, in fact, in the last one I heard about back in 2013, she was the only Street Fighter 4 character who went top 10. And then Abel was the next one down, and he was like in the 40s or 50s. I think popularity alone is going to get Jury into this game. That being said, I have to point out that the training stage theme sounds a whole hell of a lot like the beep from Third Strike. So I don't know if they're hinting at anything of that with that, or if it's just kind of a
fan service
coincidence. But
yeah,
things are seldom a coincidence with Ono.
Yeah, I do wonder if, you know, you've got an initial roster of 16. If you'd fill, you know, another slot with to have Abel and Charlie in there at the same time, it seems to me like Abel will probably end up in there, but maybe not initially.
Possibly.
Yeah.
It depends on how hard they want to push his corner of the storyline.
Yeah.
Right now, it seems like he's the central character of Street Fighter V. As far as you know, just answering long-standing questions. But
Which does bring us to the topic of the DLC and how they're going to handle it in Street Fighter V, which is kind of a strange.
This goes back to Evo, actually, in the Street Fighter V panel that was there. From what I gather, it sounds like it's kind of a Killer Instinct thing, but without any downtime. Just the way they described it, it sounds like it would be feasible. Like, we'll launch with the initial roster of 16. If there's a 17th character on launch day to start the DLC, I would be shocked if it wasn't Akuma. But Other than that, I gather that they might drop another character in every month, at least for the first little while, and then maybe drop to bi-monthly after that.
But they haven't talked of whether this will be like season pass.
Fresh.
Yeah.
And always be giving players something to look forward to, which is a good concept.
Yeah. But would this be like kind of a season pass type affair where you'd buy the game and then you'd have to pay more for it? So, yeah, it'd be an interesting approach if they can pull it off. I mean, I've been kind of wanting something like, you know, the old school Tekken time release for years ago.
And that was really the feeling that KI seasons give us.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing like shades of it here and there. I'm hoping we still do get major releases, like at some point that we do get Street Fighter V Champion Edition that marks a massive influx of characters and balance changes all at once, but I wouldn't mind if they went the first year and a half, 2 years with just this version and see where it takes them.
Yeah. Well, it's shaping up pretty well so far. I mean, as far as characters go that you've actually gotten the chance to play, I mean, what are you liking?
So far, my time with the game has been... I start up a session, pick a new character that I haven't tried yet, mess around a little bit in training mode, end up not comfortable sticking with this character when fight request is constantly turned on, and then end up backing out and going with Ryu for 8 hours. So that's, you know, that being said, this version of Ryu is probably the best one I've ever played. The standing medium punch is probably the best normal that he's ever had, and it completely redefines him as a character.
Which makes me very happy because I am a Ryu player.
Yes.
Always
I would say his mid-range and long-range game is straight out of Super Turbo, but once you get into close range, you're fishing for counter hits off of that standing medium punch because it leads to everything. There are times I've crossed someone up and then gone medium punch, hit confirm that into Dengen Hadoken. And people don't like that, but it's just...
Screw people.
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. I mean,
I still think actually my favorite version of Ryu is probably Double Impact, just because you could get the double dungeon. It was so dirty. I mean, I could just lock people down. You'd hit them with the dungeon. By the time you got done comboing and hitting them a couple of more times, you'd end up with two of them. It was ridiculous. And if you played it right, you could totally just trap people. It was so good.
Yeah.
It was definitely cheap, and it was definitely probably broken, but I don't care.
Yeah,
there's just something extremely satisfying about seeing like the terror in somebody's eyes when they realize that not only did you just combo the crap out of them after you dungeon, but holy crap, as soon as they land, you throw another one. So their choice is to get up and try to parry it, or just let it hit him in the face. Yeah. Either way,
I remember playing Double Impact in the arcade or Second Impact in the arcades, and there are players who. Like, they knew. If you went for Dengen Ryu, they'd just have this sudden chill go over them. Like, oh, I hope he doesn't know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Have you tried Chun-Li yet?
Point out is, yeah. Like I say, Second Impact is another one of those Street Fighter games that really just perfectly captures the atmosphere and style of a Street Fighter game.
Yeah, Brian was asking.
Yeah, as good as Third Strike is, I think the one of the best parts about Double Impact was like the backgrounds and stuff. There was some really cool stuff that they never carried over to Third Strike, which was disappointing.
Yeah. That was one thing I liked about Ultra Street Fighter 4. Have you heard Hugo's theme in that?
Yeah.
How it cuts away to his Second Impact theme for a little bit, and then that was a nice touch. I was glad Sawa remembered that.
Yeah, Brandon was asking about Chun-Li, and yeah, I did try her out a little bit.
I do know a few things on Chun-Li in this game, but have you spent some time with her in matches or?
Not really. I mean, I kind of messed around with her a little bit. Like, I don't know. For some reason, I can't get a feel for that, for this particular version of Chun-Li.
Yeah. It feels like they're trying very carefully to bring her as closely to Third Strike Chun-Li as they can, without actually recreating Third Strike Chun-Li, because that would be the end of days.
Yeah.
I did get hit with a back fierce, and that kind of left me terrified for the rest of that match. Because it was, if I remember correctly, I did get hit with the back fierce as an anti-air, and that was really shades of Third Strike.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm just going to go over here to the other side of the stage now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's got her Third Strike legs, so, yeah.
Yeah. Legs is quarter circle forward kick instead of just mashing on it.
Yep.
If so, you guys ever noticed that any time that she is a fireball character, like she has fireball moves, she's insanely good.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a recurring theme.
Yeah.
Yeah, legs is not only a quarter circle forward kick now, it's also an air move, which is interesting to me. She does have air combo potential and quite a bit of it. Her V skill as well. I almost wonder if it's got a little bit of tracking on it, but I can't really tell from personal experience if it does. I just know that I'm getting crossed up really weird with it, and I'd swear that I'm blocking correctly, but I end up taking the hit anyway. Well, the stomps in particular.
I have noticed that V-skills tend to cross up.
Yeah.
Cammies, I can pretty much do it on a regular basis.
Well, Cammy crosses you up breathing.
Well, yeah.
I mean, everything she does just puts her on the other side.
Yeah, but I mean, you know,
especially if she's V-trigger.
In the past, her elbow would not cross up, but as a V-skill, it does.
You know, when Cammy V-trigger, her cannon drills are psycho crushers at that point.
Yeah.
And I think the autocorrect hooligans are, I don't know, they seem kind of ridiculous, but at the same time, it was something that kind of had to happen.
Yeah.
She's just terrifying when she has me here.
Yeah. Yeah, which makes me happy because I play Cammy.
Well, Peter also seems to really combo fiend. Sorry, I know him. He seems to really favor the idea of, okay, we're not going to nerf somebody into the ground. We're going to bring up everybody else so they're still fun.
Yeah.
Which I think you can see in how kind of powerful some of the characters feel.
Yeah.
Which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, nobody feels like they're weak sauce.
No. Even Bison, you know, he's kind of scary to fight now.
Especially Bison. Holy shit. But yeah, I like that mentality of buffing other characters before nerfing the ones that are really strong. I do wonder if that means that Dan is going to be left out of this one entirely to fit that kind of theme, and I can think of a perfect character to take his place, and that'd be Retsu.
Yeah. Or, you know, Dan has been, you know, hitting the gym and dojos for the past few years and actually comes out to be something competent.
If they wanted to depict Dan the way he was in the Sakura Ganbaru manga, that would be cool.
So.
But, I don't know, it just... Plus, it seems weird to include Dan in a game that doesn't have any taunts.
Yeah, yes it does.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it has taunts.
Where?
You know, you have to press all six buttons to do it.
Oh. All six buttons?
Yeah, they make you work for it for this one.
Good. I actually like that quite a bit. I didn't even know they were still. Is that documented somewhere, or did somebody just figure it out if you slam on all the buttons?
I figured it out. It was like, well, let's see. There's a button for all three punches. There's a button for all three kicks. What happens if you press them both at the same time? Oh, you get a taunt.
Sense. That is pretty much the only thing they'd have left to do, too.
What about online performance? Have you been finding that?
It's feast or famine, in my experience.
Yeah.
When there's a good connection, it really is like they're playing right next to you. When there's a bad connection, you don't see a jump in coming until they're already on the way down. And so, it is clearly based on GGPO, Kagemusha. And, you know, that carries its whole unique set of benefits and detriments.
I don't know, because, I mean, I've had... it's like I can tell when a person is on a Wi-Fi connection. It's very easy to tell for me because I'm using wired. And, that's like, for the most part, I've had actually very good luck playing a game online. But when you got somebody with a Wi-Fi connection, there's just sometimes it's a little hiccups here and there, and it's wonky, or ended up with one match that was just borderline unplayable. So
I've had a few of those, but I am on Wi-Fi, but I'm pretty much right on top of the router as well. Unfortunately, wired just isn't an option for me at the moment. Yeah. I'm sure at some point in Street Fighter V's lifespan it will be, and that will be glorious.
Yeah, finding games in general on Wi-Fi is generally no bueno. MK10, I was using Wi-Fi for a little while, and it was just, it was bad. So, I ordered a network cable and plugged it in. And
I've heard that MK10's net code is one of those where everything you can do to make a situation better, you do.
Yeah, well, it's weird because the error messages in MK10 assume you have an Ethernet connection.
That's kind of a clue.
Yeah, it's like, plug in your Ethernet wire. What Ethernet wire? Jeez.
Yeah, I'm on Wi-Fi too. It's not an option for me where I'm at. But I've also got an insanely good router, so I don't see that much of a difference. I've got an Asus AC68U, and it's a beast.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I should do is just get a new router.
Nice router, or power line is also an option.
Yeah, but my issue is that my internet is all upstairs. Like, my computer's hardwired, everything else like that, but all the game consoles are downstairs.
Yeah.
So Wi-Fi is the only option, because my wife is not fond of holes in the wall and Ethernet cable dragged everywhere, and I'm not going to argue with her.
Yeah.
Although whenever we do move, that's actually going to be, I'm going to try and find whatever I can to sort of centralize everything. Because I want to keep my PC hardwired just because of downloads or, this kind of stuff. But, beyond that, it's really just going to depend. Of course, we're planning on getting a house that has a basement, so I might end up having the game consoles and the computer very near each other.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Anything else you wanted to add about, SFV before we pack off for the day?
It is very, very good, and if you even remotely like fighting games, you would do well to try it out.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there's no way for you to actually get in if you haven't gotten in already. So
Oh, they stopped giving out codes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
A little more.
That's kind of disappointing, considering that there's two more betas coming up.
Yeah. I pre-ordered it on Amazon, and didn't get a code, so.
Wow. Oh well.
Thankfully, you hooked last me up
time
with
I
that,
checked,
so cool.
GameStop, they were still advertising codes.
Yeah, there's also going to be a PC beta as well, so you might be able to get in on that one too. So there's that. Oh yeah, and as you mentioned, we might get Ken later on today, so that could be fun.
Yeah, maintenance going on the servers as we speak. That part will be over at 4 p.m. Pacific time, 7 p.m. Eastern, and you know, extended periods of maintenance in games of this nature usually do result in added content when they come back up. And one thing that we've seen quite a bit of in YouTube sessions or, you know, event builds has been the Ken build, and it seems like it would be appropriate at this point in the beta that they upgrade us at least to the Ken build, if not the Nikali or Vega build.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes. I'm not holding my breath for Nikali or Vega.
Yeah. Any stretch. But still. Yeah. It is nice that they seem to have the matchmaking, you know, working properly now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Oh, we got a show.
I think
we got a show.
Yeah, I think Lee walked out. Whatever.
Yeah, Lee had to go do something. Bit.
Yeah. So I guess we'll close it out. And on behalf of Lee Lamb, I'm Filippo D'Onofrio.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And we'll see you next week.
Hey, yeah.